Hello?
come on. Just trying to do something. Now.
Hello?
Hello, it's Peter Yarrow with my apologies that I'm so late. I got tied up.
That happens. I've certainly found productive few minutes answering email, so that's not a problem at all.
Thank you for your generosity and understanding.
Certainly, and thanks for doing this interview.
I'm delighted to do so.
You probably remember me from getting your autograph on February 14th, 1964 in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it that you're, I remember you perfectly. I remember the shirt you were wearing. I remember the smile on your face. I remember every moment. That's fantastic.
Well, I said that to say this and to get into the interview with you have a long history of performing in this area, getting back to the early days of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
I'm telling you, it's what's amazing right now is that the singing to an audience using this material in this way and contextualizing it and bringing the issues into the present, not just with the fire, the hammer, and blowing in the wind, and where have all the flowers gone, etc., but other songs that have been recently written, makes me feel like I'm more needed now than perhaps ever before in this time of vitriol and division and real fear about the future of our nation.
And you've been yes, indeed. You've been working against the vitriol for some time with Better Angels. Tell us a little about that.
Oh, my goodness. That is is really central. As a matter of fact, I'm just finishing an almost final cut that will be used internally for Better Angels to mobilize more support, to expand their network of workshops that they're doing all over the country. It's an extraordinary organization that is devoted to reducing and the vitriol and the polarization, but also at its source, not to changing anybody's political perspective or ideas or affiliations or commitments, but to humanizing us across this dividing line so that we once again see each other as well-meaning Americans who care about our country and are not appropriately despised or discarded or hated, because that's not only painful for just about everybody except those people that glory in that kind of division, which exists, but it's the vast majority that do not, but it's also about not being divided in the way that was characteristic and is characteristic of countries where the general well-being and will of the people has been divided severely, so they can't stand together on major issues and stand up for what is right together. And that's exactly what happened in Germany before the Second World War, with the same kind of vitriol and division. And of course, that packs on, you know, we just went through Kristallnacht, you know, Jews, gays, lesbians, gypsies, people with mental illness. And here we've got the whipping up the frenzy about immigrants and sending down troops to greet people who are going to apply for amnesty. They're not going to attack anybody. They're applying for amnesty too. I mean, the list goes on, but the reality is that this whipping up of that and antipathy and the consequent separation of people in our country can be completely countered. As a matter of fact, I'll send you the rough cut for you to look at to see not only that it happens between this group of eight Democrats and Republicans, but how it happens and why it happens that they don't change their political views at all, but they respect the other people. They don't think, oh, you're totally crazy, you are a lunatic, I don't want to talk to you. I mean, as they say in this, you know, if this could be seen by, you know, 20,000 groups, in the country, it would change history. We are being led to believe that we need to hate each other across this political divide, and that's unnecessary, untrue, not needed, and it's been encouraged by the reality of, for instance, two completely different versions of what's happening coming through on a television from Fox and then from MSNBC and CNN, etc. They're two different worlds. So if you're watching, and I watch them both, you know, you can see why people, you know, would say, hey, this is the gospel truth and these are the dangers it's just really potentially critically destructive to our nation, to our democracy, and our very survival.
Yeah, it's much different than with Vietnam, where people generally agreed on the facts and disagreed violently on what those facts meant. But we people weren't denying there was a war going on and people were getting killed.
Well, that's true until the Pentagon Papers that revealed the fact that the American public was deeply, categorically, and systemically being lied to. And that, therefore, the support for the war shifted at that point because, you know, we kept on being told, we can win this, we can win, and then we go in and we drop Agent Orange to defoliate the countryside and starve them. I mean, when we found out, because Dan Ellsberg blew the whistle, you know, then what was not just an era of the morality and appropriateness of the war, but also the degree to which the American public had been deceived became a huge issue. And I would say one thing, that the polarization that did exist then that never got resolved and will never get resolved until we have a truth and reconciliation about such things as torturing people in Guantanamo. What about the people that the United States government has said they never should have been interned? Where is the apology? Where do we look at ourselves and say we have done harm? We do not have the exceptionalism to say whatever we do, whenever we do it, it's right because we're America. That is crazy and very dangerous, and it doesn't allow us to heal. Look, Nazi Germany went through this decades-long process of self-examination and managed to heal in ways. And yes, there's still that, just like in America, there's profound racism, and over there, there's still, you know, people who are Nazis at heart. But the vast majority of America, they're good people, and the vast majority of the Germans are good people. But we know that people, if they're given very, very specialized information, that can be persuaded to do things that are inconceivable, and to believe things, and to sign on to efforts that are inconceivable. And we see it again and again. We see, you know, the information of the Ku Klux Klan, you know, what do you say? Why is this possible? How is this happening? Well, the antidote to it, which is more important to talk about, is the work of, for instance, Better Angels, where people get together from opposing sides, and they're guided through some steps that were brilliantly created by Dr. Bill Daugherty in the world of, you know, family and marital relationships, and they listen to each other, and they break through these cruel and destructive stereotypes and become not only understanding, but friends, and work together to devote themselves to advocacies in the areas where they agree, and they become civic friends, and that's happening all over the country. But it needs to happen much faster, because the progress of the intensity of the animosity is also growing. So, and the other thing I'm doing is I'm singing, and I went down with a group of 12 songwriters, including myself, to write songs for the Parkland students, which was suggested, but to create the situation where we could be mentors to them to make their own songs. And we've got an album of songs that's unbelievable, that comes from the kids themselves with a little help from their friends. So, you know, what is our task? Our task at this point, when I sing together with people, it creates community, and it is an antidote to what's going on, and it makes me feel, you know, that I feel other than disempowered, if you know what I mean.
That singing together is so important, and I'm Do you see many of the young artists, you encourage a lot of young artists, I think you started New Folk at Kerrville with Rob Kennedy, doing enough of the singing together? It almost seems like Arlo and Cy Conn and John McCutcheon are almost the younger folks who see the importance of singing together the way that that Pete particularly did.
Yeah, well, Pete really was the pathfinder, the mentor. He was, you know, certainly my role model and my hero, and extraordinary in so many ways. But there is another generation now that's coming up, and you're going to hear them. You're going to hear these students. They're not even college students. They're high school students. And they're going to be, you know, it's the women that are going to save us from this, and the young people. That's, and you know, the Cy Conn is amazing, and you know, they're just so many extraordinary people who have carried on this tradition. But now we need not that generation, but the next generation, which is, you know, is engaging in incredible ways and electrifying the country. And I mean, can you imagine, here's an analogy, that the whole world is only your own home, you know, and somebody comes in with a vial of some kind of gas poison, and I'm talking about your home community, maybe you know, the size of a congregation. Here's a hypothetical congregation. Somebody from the congregation comes in with a vial of poison gas, and a dozen people die, and they say we can't let that happen. It was a woman, it was in their handbag, and they say, we have to search the handbags. And the other people, no, that we have a rule that's private. You can't. They have a right. We have a Second Amendment. You can't search the bags. No, that's more important. And then somebody else comes in, and it happens again. Now, how many times does it have to happen before we say, maybe this rule is not right? Maybe we have to ban assault weapons, you know, because, you know, it's, and we have to not create other weapons to fight these weapons. Who wants to be in the middle of a gunfight? You know, are you kidding? You know, it's if you don't have guns, they don't have guns in England. They don't have guns in Australia. They don't have guns in Japan. They don't have guns. And they don't have gunfights. And if I think 20 years ago they had an Australia, they had a massacre like the ones we have here. And you know, they banned guns. They haven't had one since, or maybe they had one. But you know, we have one every day. We have 450,000 kids across this nation, and in schools where there's been a massacre as defined by two or more people killed. I mean, this is a time for us to gather our hearts together and say, we must stand together to make sense out of what has become a very troubled and divided world. And it's common sense to do so many of these things. Hey, background checks. You know, we have to do certain things before we can drive a car. And they're meant to, is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong in making sure that somebody who wants to buy a gun for hunting or something is not mentally ill, does not have a profile of hatred, hate mongering on the internet? I mean, you know, I mean, this is it's inconceivable that we are doing these things and allowing these things. And it proves to us, it shows us, that even the goodness of our nation can be pierced by the kind of division and vitriol that it's experiencing. And we have to change that. And that's why Better Angels is so important.
Well, music, of course, is important, too. What does a Peter Yarrow concert sound like in 2018? What can people expect to hear at the Art Center this Friday night, November 16th?
Well, they'll hear Pop the Magic Dragon, Boy in the Wind, If I Had a Hammer, Leaping on a Jet Plane, all of the Peter Paul and Mary repertoire, but it'll be contextualized. I'm talking to you about these issues, but on the stage, I tell it musically through the songs. And there are a couple of songs that I've written, one called The Children Are Listening. The children are listening. If we say something cruel and harsh, they'll do the same. Children are listening. If they grow up to be bullies, we'll have ourselves to blame. And you know, there are a few of those songs, but the first half, I choose the songs that I want to sing. And in the second half, the people are given the opportunity to give me a list of songs to choose from that they want to hear. So, and it's surprising sometimes because they're going to ask for songs that are, they, last night, I was in Florida, and there were some songs that I was tickled pink to be asked to sing. Interestingly enough, one of the songs they want to hear a lot is The Great Mandela, which is, you know, very, very special song, but also some obscure songs that come out that they've heard that, you know, are just not, you know, very well known, but part of the Peter, Paul, and Mary song bag. But ultimately what it feels like is not just a concert, not just the performance, but the creation of a sense of family and togetherness. And most of the songs are sing-alongs. I ask the audience to sing with me.
You know, that's a beautiful thing, and I sure appreciate you spending some time with us today, and look forward to the people seeing you this Friday night at the Art Center in Carrboro, North Carolina, November 16th, for an evening with Peter Yarrow.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much. And I'm so delighted to hear you mention the Carrboro Folk Festival. That makes me very happy, very proud.
Rod was a special friend. So of course, I know Dallas, but it was Rod that I was really close to.
Yeah, me too. Me too. He's greatly missed. All right, my friend. Good to talk to you.
Could I trouble you for a station ID before I let you go?
A great pleasure.
Yeah. My wife wants one too. So for her separate show. So the first one is you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on WCOM.
You are listening to The Revolution Starts Now on WCOM, and this is Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary saying, I am joining you in this revolution with joy, pleasure, and pride.
Oh, that's beautiful. And the other one would be, you're listening to The Bluegrass Breakdown with Mrs. Bluegrass on WCOM.
You are listening to The Bluegrass Breakdown. You are listening to The Bluegrass Breakdown on WCOM, and this is Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and I'm proud to be with you and share this music that I love with you as well. Stay tuned.
Thanks so much, Peter. It was a delight talking to you.
You too, my brother. Take care.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.